In the name of God, the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Can you imagine the joy and excitement of Mary and Martha and all of their friends? It's a little loud. Is it too loud? Or is it about right? It just seems like I'm talking all over myself. I got this thing way down by my... far away. Let me know if you can hear me. I'm still getting used to all the sound and everything. Can you imagine the joy and excitement of Mary and Martha and all their friends? Lazarus had been dead, but now he is here walking, talking, and laughing amongst those who had been mourning. You see, Lazarus had fallen seriously ill. In fact, so ill that his life was in danger. His sisters immediately sent for Jesus. But by the time that he arrived, Lazarus had died. The sisters were destroyed. They were terrified. They were just upset. If only Jesus had arrived in time, Lazarus would still be alive. Jesus, though, went to the grave and called out in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." You could hear the gasp of surprise from the onlookers as a figure emerged from the grave, wrapped from head to toe in grave clothes. It was Lazarus. Where there had been weeping, there were now sounds of joy. Lazarus was alive. Once again, Jesus had turned a funeral into a celebration. Next we hear of Jesus having dinner with Lazarus. Martha is busy in the kitchen preparing the food as she always did. Jesus and Lazarus are chatting. Tomorrow Jesus would arrive in Jerusalem among the cheers of the crowds and jeers of his enemies. In fact, his enemies were ready to take extreme measures to stop Jesus. In a week's time, Jesus would be dead. But now back to Jesus and Lazarus. Mary came into the room where the men were carrying with her a bottle of the most exquisite and costliest perfume. The text says it was nard, an aromatic oil made from a plant in India. This was very expensive, we are told. We are told that Mary's flask of perfume could cost about a year's wages. What did Mary do with the expensive perfume? She assumed that she became a servant. And she washed the feet of a visitor, but she didn't have any water or a bowl. Instead, she poured the very costly perfume onto the feet of Jesus. And then the horror of horrors. She let down her hair. And back then, only women of doubtful character would do that in public, especially in the presence of men. And she proceeded to wipe the feet of Jesus with her long hair. We are told that the whole house was filled with this beautiful aroma. You know, what was Mary thinking? What made her pour her life savings on someone's feet? What made her use such expensive perfume when something cheaper would have been just as effective? Simply put, what Mary did was an act of devotion. It was a gift from her heart. She wanted to give the best that she had. And the best she had was a flask of pure perfume. Jesus was someone very special. She loved him dearly, and she wanted to show it, so she gave him her best. That's what happens when people love. When a husband loves his wife, he wants to give her the best, and vice versa. When parents love a child, they want to give the child the best. When a person is devoted to a good friend, that person may even be prepared to put their own life at risk. One afternoon, three children, two boys and a girl, entered a flower shop. They were about 9 or 10 years old, raggedly dressed but clean. They gazed around the store and nervously approached the owner. One of the boys said, "Sir, we'd like some yellow flowers, please." The man immediately realized that this was a very special occasion. He showed them some inexpensive yellow flowers. The boy, who was the spokesman for the group, shook his head. "I think we'd like something better than that." The man asked him, "Does it have to be yellow?" The boy answered, "Yes, sir. You see, Mickey would like them better if they were yellow. He had a yellow t-shirt. I guessed he'd like yellow better than any other color." The man asked, "Are they for his funeral?" The boy nodded, suddenly choking up. The little girl was struggling to keep back her tears. The boy said, "She's his sister. He was a great tree kid. A truck hit him while he was playing in the street." The boy's lips were trembling now. The other boy entered into the conversation. "Us kids have put all our money together. We got 80 cents. Would roses cost an awful lot, sir? Yellow roses, I mean." The man smiled. He said, "It just happens that I have some nice yellow roses here that I'm offering special today for 80 cents a dozen." The man pointed to the roses, and the boy said, "Gee, they are beautiful, mister. Yes, Mickey sure liked these roses." The man said, "I'll make up a nice bouquet with ferns and ribbons. Where do you want me to send them?" One of the boys responded, "Would it be all right, mister, if we took them with us? We kind of like to, you know, give them to Mickey ourselves. He'd like it better that way." The florist fixed the bouquet of flowers, accepted the 80 cents, and then watched the youngsters trudge out of the store. Even though he didn't make any profit from the sale, he was so happy he could be generous to those three children. They walked down the street, carefully holding the bunch of yellow roses. They had spent all their pocket money so that they could give Mickey this last gift of love with the bunch of roses those three children were showing. The same generosity, devotion, extravagance that Mary showed toward Jesus with her flask of perfume. Nothing but the best will do, and that reminds us of God's love towards us. Only His love is more perfect and far greater than ours can ever be. Last week, we heard about God's extravagant and never-ending love for us. When we heard Jesus' story of the man and his two sons, even though that man was terribly disappointed in his two sons, one had cashed in his share of inheritance and wasted it all by bad living, and the other couldn't see why his father was so generous with his love, and so why he was willing to celebrate such a failure. But today, this is a story about God's complete commitment to each of us. It's a story of how extravagant God's love is, how lavish God is with his forgiveness, how God loves us even though we rightfully deserve nothing at all from God. And today, we hear of Mary who realizes how much love Jesus has shown to her, to Lazarus, and to Martha. She wants to demonstrate in a practical way how much she is devoted to Him. She gives boldly of the best she had, just as Jesus will give Himself boldly in His devotion for us when He is raised on a cross at Calvary. We are now just 1 week away from Holy Week, which starts next Sunday with Palm Sunday, the day Jesus rose into Jerusalem on a donkey. This text has a special message for us as we draw near the end of the Lenten season. First, reminds us of what true devotion is. As Mary knelt at Jesus' feet in the posture of a true servant, we are reminded of what happened at another meal, the Passover. When Jesus was eating his last meal with the disciples, out of true love and devotion to his disciples, he knelt before them with a bowl of water and towel and proceeded to wash the disciples' feet. Jesus came into the world to be our servant, to serve us, because of his extravagant love for us. In true service to us, he gave his life so that we might gain life, a new forgiven life, a new life and a new relationship with God. Secondly, Mary's extremely generous act of devotion reminds us that Jesus did not hold back his love for us. Just as Mary gave the best of what she had, even more so, Jesus gives the best of what he has to offer. He gave his life. Out of his complete and total love for us, Jesus gave up everything. And thirdly, as we picture Mary giving so much to her Lord because of her love for him, we are led to ask ourselves, how extravagant has our devotion been to God our Savior? God's generous gift of Christ should bring out extravagance in the way we give to our God. It should produce extravagance in praise and worship. Like Mary, we should be satisfied with nothing but the best when we come here to worship, the way we listen to God's Word as it is read and spoken, the way we participate in the service, reading, playing music, singing, ushering, welcoming visitors, the way we pray and respond to God's Word with joy and lives full of devotion, the way we encourage one another to be regular in our worship. Mary's unselfish love for Jesus calls for unselfishness in us in all areas of life. That kind of unselfishness that leads us to that extra bit and go out of way, that we can go out of our way to serve those who are facing hard times, the sick, the sad, in fact, anyone who needs our love. Judas was concerned that Mary had been far too extravagant. He was concerned that her demonstration of her devotion of Jesus was just way too much. But Jesus commended her. She gave unselfishly. And likewise, we are challenged to give our money, our time, and ourselves generously as a way of expressing our thanks, our love, and our commitment to our Lord and Savior. And fourthly, this text makes us aware of how much we are like Judas, how tight-fisted and stingy we are when it comes to giving of ourselves, our time, and our money. A good question that comes out of seeing Mary's devotion is this: when was the last time I did something extravagant because of my devotion to Jesus? Not because I felt I had to do it or that it was the right thing to do, or I knew I would feel guilty if I didn't. When was the last time I threw caution to the wind and went ahead fully committed as I gave of myself, my skills, and the material blessings that God has given me, and use them generously and sacrificially to honor God and to serve others? And finally, Mary's complete devotion to Jesus makes us ask as a church, the following question. Is it the love of Jesus that is guiding and motivating us as the church? When people look at us as a church, do they see the kind of do anything, no matter the cost, take a risk kind of Christianity? Or do they see people who like to stay within what is comfortable and safe? When Mary knelt before Jesus and poured perfume on his feet, she came in for some pretty severe criticism from Judas. Showing love and commitment to Jesus as Lord and Savior always means taking a risk. Love that doesn't count the cost is the kind of love to what we are called. Indeed, it is the kind of love that Jesus himself showed us when he, on that day after Mary anointed his feet and dried them with her hair, rode into Jerusalem and gave himself up to death. Lent, the season of Lent, reminds us that we have limited our love because the cost has been too high. And that is why Jesus came. He came to forgive us. He came to hold us up, to redeem us, to reconcile us, to love us, to show us the way. And he came to give us a fresh start. And in this we pray in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.